Welcome back. We're broadcasting from the Novigrad Complex, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales Service, Parts and Accessories. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian, joining us right now, a guy we spoke to right here in this same spot last year before a special season, Reed Blankenship, Eagle
Safety. What up?
Reed, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Living the dream, you know.
So I'm curious. Who came up with the name Exciting Whites? I kind of like that, too. I like white wine, by the way.
The city of Philadelphia.
They came up with the name?
They came up with it. I think it's been around when I first got here, because I've seen the picture. It's the wine selection.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, well, so, he was a big wine guy.
Yeah, I like the whites.
So
like
it's
the white
Exciting Whites. And then, obviously, when Coop started playing, they just took it and ran with it and started calling us the Exciting Whites, so.
Well, it's stuck, and it's a fun one. So how was your offseason? I mean, you're a champion
you
now.
You got married recently, right?
A month ago?
Yeah, July 5th.
Awesome. Congratulations.
One of the best decisions I've ever made. Hopefully she's listening right now. You know?
Yeah, get some bounty points.
Well, shout out there. That's a good one.
Shout out.
But I'm sure the offseason was what, now, how – take us through. Was it different because of everything that went along with – you're a Super Bowl champion. How close was it to your typical offseason? And also just – the reality of you had a month extra of playing football. Uh-huh. How was your offseason different this year than maybe in years past?
I like to compare it to, I mean, to 22. A lot of us were here during that time. You kind of know, you learn from experience. Even though I didn't play a lot in 22, I kind of looked at the guys that were, you know, that started in front of me, like Marcus Epps and them, and when they started training. And, you know, you come home from here after the Super Bowl, and you're sitting around, and you know, obviously you got friends across the league, and they've been training, you know. And you're like, man, like, when do I go back? You know, you're sitting there fighting with yourself, like, am I lazy? Am I not doing this right? But I think after the parade, I think a week or two, I started back. And, you know, it's just trying to get your body back in that routine. And once you start it, I mean, you can't let it go. So
my question is this, because last year we talked to you, you were still fairly young, you know, at the safety position. Now – you're the vet.
I know. It's
you're
crazy.
You're like the OG in the room. So tell me, how has that changed for you in such a short period of time?
I wouldn't say a lot of it has changed. You know, I try to pride myself in just being myself and allowing the guys that are rookies to be able to be vocal and to be able to be themselves. This is not a hostile environment, you know. That's not what I want to create in our room. And I'm glad I'm able to kind of take control of that. And, you know, we got the coaches in the room that allow me to do that and be the voice. And, you know, it's kind of something I've been waiting for. I have a lot of guys that, you know, I played with years prior, you know, like BG, Fletch, guys in our room, you know, Slay, CD, like all those guys, just watch how they lead and how vocal they were. You learn from experience, and you watch them, and I'm taking bits and pieces from their leadership into mine, so.
You mentioned Slay. When he left, or I think it was around that time he might have been leaving, but, you know, it was around that time of free agency. Mm-hmm. On his podcast, he mentioned you, like that you were the next leader in the DB room. I don't know if you heard it when it happened, or now you're hearing me say it. What does that mean to you that, like, Slay's one of those vets that everyone respects around the league, that he pointed you out as the next leader?
You know, it means a lot, especially, like, I looked up to Slay a lot, especially when I was a rookie. He was one of those dudes that created that environment that allowed me just to be myself. And, you know, you have role models and guys that's been in the league for years that's like that. Because prior, you know, in college you hear about the, you know, you're just going to – the DB room is going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough on you here and there. But it was never like that, you know. And like I said, Slay had a huge part in that. And it meant a lot to me when he said that. I know me and Slay, we're tight, and – you know, we have talks here and there, but, you know, I hope he's doing great right now.
All right, take us through today. I mean, you guys
– it was hot, man.
Full pads, hot, and you guys were – you had two out there 2 hours. And I saw a couple of videos. I saw it when I was out there myself. Looked like you were delivering some thuds out there. What was it like to play some real football again with pads on?
Oh, it's great. You know, you can play the underwear Olympics all you want, but once the pads come on, it's different. You know, it's real football. I know Saquon, he's one of those guys that you're going to hear a lot. He was talking to us a lot today. But yeah, it was one of those hot ones. I mean, that's training camp for you. And, you know, we say it's hot every year like this, but it is what it is. It builds character, you know. So
the other safety spot next to you, it feels like there's a lot of guys there that are trying to get their feet wet and trying to find their role. And we're not sure. I'm not sure if you're sure who's going to be lining up next to you game one against the Cowboys. How's that been going, trying to communicate and trying to understand where everyone is? Because you have to, yeah, that's important for you to know where your other safety is next to you. How's that going as you try to learn them, they try to learn you?
Yeah, you know, I tell them that I'm not going to try and change a lot of who I am. I want them to be able to adapt to me. And like I said, I'm going to try and be as vocal as I can. I'm going to try to help them out on the back end. But, you know, at times, you know, bullets start flying. It gets hot. It's hard for me to communicate across the field. And, you know, they're all doing a great job, man. And the best thing about it is they're asking the right questions. And, you know, the rookies especially, you know, they're asking the high-level questions. And we're so much farther along than we were, you know, in OTAs especially. You know, Sydney's doing a great job. Drew's doing a great job. Like, everybody that's been rotating in has been doing a great job. And, you know, it speaks volumes to our room and how we work together and how we compete together.
Eagle safety, Reed Blankenship with us.
You know, Reed, talk to me a little bit about the growth of Cooper DeJean and his versatility, because, man, saw him out there playing safety first couple practices. I mean, he's just a straight-out athlete. Yeah. Talk a little bit about him, man, and what he could potentially bring to the table.
Yeah, you know, he, like you said, he's a great athlete, and you want some of your best athletes on the field at all times. And it doesn't feel like he's in his second year. You know, it feels like he's in his fifth or sixth year, and he's only 22. You know, the sky's the limit for him, and, you know, he's already ranked in number 60 in the league. You know, that speaks volume. You know,
yeah,
that's great. But the good thing about it is he's very humble. He's always, like, he's one of those guys always asking questions, always just in tune with football and just trying to be the best football player possible, you know. And, you know, that's what I like about him. And we're in contact every day. We work good off each other, and that's what you need. So,
is there something to – it feels like your interceptions in your career have been clutch interceptions, if that's even a thing that people talk about. Like, they seem like they happen at huge moments. The Saints game, Packers game, Commanders game a couple years ago, the one off of Rodgers to start your career in 22. Is there something about those moments where you kind of level up? Is it right place, right time? How have you been able to make those plays in big, like, less than 2 minutes to go in the game to kind of finish these wins here?
Well, if you look back at it, I mean, especially go back to the Saints game, I mean, our D-line was in Derek Carr's face. You know, it's hard to play quarterback when you got guys in your face like that. And, you know, it started up front and then good coverage with everybody else. And then I was, like I said, right place, right time. And it's all about just knowing who you're playing with and knowing that the guys are going to get their job done. So I just do mine and not have to worry.
So this is year two under Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. Has he added more? Because I know you have a lot of different pieces on defense. So there's that element of, hey, this is year two in the system, but also all these new guys are now around you. Mm-hmm. What's the defense like? Compare where you were a year ago to where you are now, understanding and all the stuff he's put in here.
Oh, I think we're already on that, like I said, that PhD type level now. Me and Zach's having conversations that we were having later in the year, you know, once we got more comfortable with the system, and we were having them in OTAs at the time. And it's just like, we're starting to pick up, like, different route concepts of how we can play this, how we can, you know, disguise it a little bit better, be in the right place, right time. And, you know, not just Zach, you know, you got Cooper especially, too. Like, we're talking across the field when we're playing. He's playing nickel onto the boundary. And, you know, especially corners, like, Q's doing a great job. Like, he's understanding the game. And once you got players like that to understand the game, I mean, the sky's the limit, you know, so.
Reed, was there a moment last year started to click? I mean, you guys' first month of the season, it was choppy on defense, right? Then
right.
All of a sudden you come out of that bye, Cleveland, and it just started to roll. Was there a moment, because you've played on two great teams now in a few years in the league, was there a moment you started to say, hey, it's clicking a little bit here?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like every game, you ask somebody else, they'll probably say some part in the season was clicking. But I feel like each game had its own challenges, and it just felt like we wanted to be as dominant as we could. And if we weren't, we just held ourselves accountable, and it just felt like we weren't playing up to par sometimes. You know, and it's crazy to think, because, you know, we were ranked so high here and there, but it's just like we want to be better in a lot of those areas if we can. So,
well, by the end, you were dominant. Mm-hmm. What was it like to do that to the Chiefs? I mean, that had to feel –
Yeah, I was about to ask you that.
That had to feel special. I mean
– It did,
because it's rare. I mean, since Mahomes became their quarterback, they lose by double digits so rarely. And to do it, what did it feel like out there when you guys felt like you were in control of that game?
I mean, it felt great. Whoever we were playing, I mean, if we beat somebody like that, you're going to feel as dominant as you can. And at the end of the day, we're just having fun. You know, one of the most crucial times, you know, the biggest stage of your life, you're there and you're relaxed and you're having fun. I mean, you can't ask for a better experience. So all I can say is we were having fun out there even the week we were here, practicing in the link and just had pads on. It's like, man, this is our last game, but who cares? Let's don't stop here. Let's win it all. You know?
Well, you did. You did by dominating the Chiefs. Reed, we appreciate you hopping on.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Congratulations again, and good luck this season, Reed.
Appreciate y'all.
There he goes. Reed Blankenship, Eagles safety. And we're about to be jumping at this. We're going back-to-back with guests.
We're going back-to-back.
That's right.
You know Reed, how hard it is to go back-to-back.
Well, the Eagles are trying to do it. Reed Blankenship to Jalix Hunt, who came on last year and played a big role in the Eagles' defense as they went down the stretch to become Super Bowl champions. And now Jalix Hunt entering year two in the NFL, about to sit down with us on the Midday Show. Jalix Hunt, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I'm going straight to the Super Bowl, Jalix, because at what point in that game did you feel like they couldn't block you? Because they looked like they couldn't block you. So at what point did you feel like hey, I'm about to work this cat like a shift?
I mean, it was really just the confidence I had in how we prepared in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That was Coach Coach Vangio.
Oh, you had a I want that. The flashback. Because you when you laughed, you had a flashback.
You saw that as
eyes? I need the flashback. What did he say to you in that moment that you knew that today was going to be your day?
Man, he said he trusted us completely. We didn't blitz any, and he said it was going to be on us. You know, Mahomes is such a dynamic quarterback, and he can make plays on his feet in the air with his arm. So we needed as much defense as we could on the back end. So he told us it was up to us. So the amount of work we put in on just diagnosing the tackles, the centers, the guards, where Mahomes escapes out of the pocket, everything. When we went into the game, it was just a matter of time, like when we were going to dominate. It wasn't really a question of if we were.
You cleaned that up a little bit, though.
That was our mindset.
you clean that up, though.
We appreciate cool. that, but it's a good, great story.
But no, you can tell. It was way more to that. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to ask no more, but I know it was way more to that story than what you just told.
My story, I'm sticking to it.
So take us through what it's like for you year one to two. I mean, what a year, right? You come in and, you know, we didn't know what to expect, right? You're not a first-round pick, but by the end of the season, you're playing a lot, and you're playing a big role. And take us through your mindset. Like, where are you now in terms of understanding this defense compared to where you were last year? How much have you grown in your mental state with this defense compared to what we talked to a year ago?
Just being a professional, honestly. I talk to BG a lot. I talk to Sweat a lot. Just anybody in the room, anybody in the building who could give me any tips about just being a professional and how to progress my game into the next level. So, excuse me.
Don't worry about it.
This year, I just been approaching the game, asking a lot more questions, being a lot more comfortable in my role, and I've learned so much. And, dag, it sucks that BG's not here, but, you know, if I ever need to text him, I can. He always talks about carrying yourself as a professional. So last year I came in here, I told y'all I was a little bit nervous. I just wanted to find my footing. BG sat me down and told me it doesn't matter where you were drafted. It doesn't matter if you were drafted. If you were UDFA, it doesn't matter. You're a professional. You're on this team. And you can't look at it as this is your developmental year. You're a professional. Act like it. So that snapped me into the mindset that I'm carrying on throughout the rest of my career. Is I'm a professional. I need to play like it. So just my attention to detail, the questions I'm asking, how I'm trying to lead the rookies that are in or anybody, I'm giving them the same advice that was given to me as last year when I came in. So that's really been my progression from year one to two so far.
What does it feel like? What feeling do you get considering the offseason, what the team did? They're relying on you more than probably a year ago, right? You look at the depth chart last year, and BG was here, you mentioned. Sweat was here. Some veterans. Now, BG retired. Sweat was, you know, left in free agency. And, look, the team could have drafted another high-edge player. They could have signed one. They did sign some guys, but they could have signed one on the first day of free agency. They could have traded for one. There's big names out there. They didn't. What does it mean to you that it feels like they're relying on you a lot this season?
It means a lot. It means that they trust us. Me, Nolan, O'Shawn was here at the end of last year, and he's going into this year as well. But everybody they brought into the room as well, I mean, they've been guys on the teams that they play in. They get sacks, they get to the quarterback. So it shows that they wanted a new group of DNs. And, yeah, I'm so grateful that they wanted to go with me and Nolan and bring in some guys that are fast, can rush. I love to get to the quarterback and have so much in their arsenal already. But we're all young. I don't think anybody's over. Double O is 8 years in, I think. But we just got him. So he's been a great addition. But everybody else is year five at the most.
Who's the voice right now? Is it, I mean, we just had Reed in here. Reed's one of the oldest guys on your defense.
Yeah, and that's not that old.
That's not that old. I mean, is it Zach? Like, who's – do you have a vocal leader? Is that emerging? What is it like to play on a defense that's all super young?
It's cool because we're all peers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we have somebody who's been in the league 15 years like BG was, and you kind of just, oh, that's BG. Like, you approach him differently. It's a lot. It's a lot easier because I know not being as close to BG, it can seem a little bit intimidating talking to him, but everybody's so close in age. A lot of them went to Georgia, so they know each other.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all connect on just how tough we are, how much we love to play defense and fly around. So whoever needs to be the vocal leader in that moment steps up. Zach, N'Kobe, you know, it's often one of those linebacker roles because – how our linebackers play and how Vic Fangio likes his linebackers to play is all over the field. So when you can impact the game like that, you just naturally fall into that role. So it's usually a linebacker, but like Reed, Coop can step up. It doesn't matter. Adore, he just got here, but he's a vet at the corner position. So it really means whoever needs to step up, whoever needs to say something, we'll hold each other accountable and we'll say something.
So how's that been for you? Because you hit on something that I think is very important, the fact that, you know, BG was a little bit older, so his time was a little bit different because, you know, he's a family man. But the fact that all of you guys are fairly the same age and you kind of get the fellowship a little bit more than you did with BG. How's that changed for you this year, knowing that basically all you guys are about the same age and y'all can hang out?
We hung out a lot last year, too. But this year, we joke around. We bid. A lot of our jokes are based on things that we already know about. We hop on a game with each other. We're always shadow boxing, offense, defense.
Mm-hmm.
It just means it's like they're like a lot more like brothers instead of like almost like mentors. Like BG was more so of a mentor, but now they're like brothers. And you can talk to your brother a little bit differently than you can to a mentor.
Yeah,
so if I need to get on you, I can get on you. But you know it's not from a place of I'm trying to talk down or disrespect you or anything like that. It's more so of we have a standard to uphold. We have a goal to accomplish. And you're my brother, and I expect better than you, better of you.
Did it feel real today with the full pads on? Is this now? Are we back now? Is this real football with the full pads
on?
Man,
we've been in full football mode since whenever OTA started, honestly. That second little off-season break or whatever you want to call it, I've been so locked in. I've been just learning, but it for sure physically feels like football season.
Yeah,
definitely
hot,
a hot day like this today. Got to get in, got to get that water, rehydrate and everything. But, yeah, we're in full swing right now.
What's it like for you going up every day against Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson? And be honest, cool. you're getting the best of them and you start to win those battles?
Man, I'm learning a lot more each rep. Jeez. I'm so confident in knowing that if I can – get a rush on Jordan Mailata or Lane Johnson, I think I can get a rush on anybody in the world. These are some of the best tackles in the league, if not the best tackles in the league. So just being able to pick their brains, I almost got you there. What made you take that extra step? What made you stop your feet? What do you think can work on you? Why do you shoot your outside hand instead of your inside hand? Why do you shoot your inside hand instead of your outside hand? Like what is the patience? Just being able to break down how they set and how I can attack that set, man, I just learn each and every rep.
Well, that's great stuff. Jalex, man, congratulations again on last year. Good luck this year.
Thank you, man. We're rooting for you.
Expecting big things. Jalex Hunt, Eagles Edge, with us, heading to his second year.
Have a good one, man.
There he goes. Jalex Hunt with us on the WIP Midday Show. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate Reed and Jalex hopping on with us after practice. By the way, a long practice. They practiced for about 2 hours.
Yeah, they got it in today.
Full pads, in the heat. One thing I noticed, talking to those guys, and we've talked to Reed a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're growing, right? The third, second-year players.
Yeah.
You could hear it in their voice. Like, just Jalex, last year with us, it may have been the first or second time he was ever doing an interview like this.
Mm-hmm.
He just sounds more
mature.
Grown up. Yeah, mature.
Mature. I mean, you know.
Like, he's ready.
Battle-tested, battle-hardened, whatever you want to call it. He's a guy that, you know, he went to the mountaintop first year in the league, man. I mean, think about that for a minute. You go to a team that goes to the Super Bowl, you're an integral part of that success that they had in that game. Now you come into the season as a starter.
Well, and I
that is
huge.
Phenomenal.
I also I didn't want to knock like Ojulari and Uche, but what I was trying to get at to him with the idea, Hugh, they could have tried to trade for T.J. Watt, right? They could have tried to trade for Trey Hendrickson.
They believe in those guys,
right? They could have signed Josh Sweatback.
Yeah,
right? They're basically saying Nolan Smith and Jalix, you're the edge guys.
You're the future.
Right. You're our starters on the edge, and then we'll kind of fill in behind. They also traded Bryce Huff, right? They could have tried to do a reclamation project there. They got rid of all the vets.
Yeah.
And they're turning over to the young guys. There's a lot of faith in him. And Hugh, a year ago, he seemed like a project. He was a third-round pick from a small school. If I told you a year ago he's the starting edge in 2025, I think most people would be like, I don't know about that.
Well, you look at him and be like, wow, what kind of leap is he going to take?
Right. And they think he could do it, obviously.
And I tell you, the thing that I feel like when I hear them talk, they're a tight-knit group. They study. It sounds like they study a lot. Because, you know, when Reed said here, he was talking about how he's always talking to Coop about football and things of that nature. The evolution of football, the game has changed so much from when I played, man, and the ability to send information to the players at home at any time of night, I think, is phenomenal. I think is the most important thing that the Eagles have going for them, and the fact that all of these guys are locked in. Because the one thing that I hear when I hear all of them talk, they're of one mind. It's like a hive mind type situation. They're all saying the same things, man. And that's why I feel like they're chasing greatness. They're looking at it like, hey, yeah, we just won, but let's see how many we can win. And in order to do that, we have to do something that has never been done before. We have to be all in. And they're young, man. I think about the days when, you know, we drafted Ike. I got here. Ike's draft class and the guys that came in after that, like, you had a few guys that were sprinkled in that were decent, like were players. But when you look at, when you think about what the Eagles have been able to accumulate in the last couple of years, man, it feels like every draft class, whether it's the first pick or a middle pick or whatever, they have somebody that contributes to this team.
Well, if Hunt can be what we hope he could be, right? If he could be a legitimate edge starter.
Yeah.
Last year's draft is going to go down as one of the best in Eagles history. Quinyon, Cooper, Jalix, 1-2. I mean, we already know about Quinyon and Cooper, right? They've already shown enough that we feel confident they're big-time players.
Yeah.
If Hunt can take that leap to not just a rotational guy, but a guy that could get 8 to 10 sacks a season like what Josh Sweat was, that's an incredible draft. I mean, it sustains you, especially like you – I don't mean to bring us back here, defense, offense, and money, but that's how you pay all the offensive players. You need those guys in the draft, the cheap defensive players. See, it's the only way it keeps working for the next few years. All right, 215-592.
I like how you just try to hurry up and throw that
well,
in.
No,
get the hell out of here.
I'm not trying to say you're right. I'm saying if you're going to be right, this is the only way it works.
But I like how you hurry up and you threw that in and you went straight to break.
You're darn right. Don't let you respond. 215-592-9494. More of your phone calls on all this coming up. You can react to Reed and Jalix, what they had to say. Do you like the mindset of new team, new season, or do you think they should embrace being the defending champs? Oh, we're getting something very interesting Jim Salisbury said this morning on the Phillies, and Devin Caney will join us when we get back. And by the way, the tennis match, if you are driving down FDR Park.
It's over.
Well, it's not. Well,
it didn't happen.
It's not happening.
It's not over. You didn't miss it.
It's postponed due to the heat. A decision was made in blue
misinformation
jeans.
It was a blue jean decision.
A blue jeans decision was made to postpone it. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, live from Eagles Training Camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nothing says summer like grilling. Grilling. And when I fire up the grill, I'm bringing the flavor. Hatfield's savory brown sugar marinated pork tenderloins is on my grilling go-to list. It's juicy, packed with that sweet, smoky goodness, and so easy to make. Just pop it on the grill and boom, dinner's done right. This summer, put some pork on your fork with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, tips, and where to buy. Hatfield, better care, better pork.